I love it. I mean, that I've told Kevin and a couple other people that when I was in school studying theater, this is what I wanted to do, was to work with a company on new works. And it's amazing and such a gift.
What is more exciting about a new work than doing Death of a Salesman? An established... Boy, that got some heavy sighs there, Death of a Salesman did.
It's fresh. You're bringing something new into the world that no one's ever seen or been a part of before, and it's such an honor.
Chrissy, does that change things for the cast if you're not doing Romeo and Juliet or you're not doing Death of a Salesman and you're meeting your cast, some of your cast members for the first time and you're seeing the words for the first time? Does that up the energy level?
Oh, yeah, it definitely ups the energy level. It's because it's kind of like, I don't know, everyone has their ideas of what Romeo and Juliet should be and what Death of a Salesman should be, but this is a new thing. It's like you're all getting together and making a brand new baby, and you're sending it out into the world, and you know, it could be anything. It can grow into anything, and it's a big sense of ownership of it and of choices, and like, this is the first time we're doing it, and we're all in it together. It's lovely.
Let's talk about this baby a little bit, Bob. It involves Edgar Allan Poe's last poem. It involves some perhaps otherworldly elements. It involves a couple of centuries. It involves a mysterious fire. There's a lot happening.
There is a lot happening in the play. I'm tempted to...
Don't give away too much here.
Outline it all ahead of time, but there is a lot happening in this play, and one of the things we're doing in rehearsal and in rewrites is to make sure that we are helping the audience along just enough. So there'll probably be two people every night who will want to kill me, but then hopefully the rest of the people will be, thank you for not, you know, giving everything away. Is that sort of, the mystery? You keep people mystified just enough so that they are engaged, but if they're completely mystified the entire time, then you're in trouble. But yeah, very complicated play. And one of the things, just to throw out, this play was produced 3 years ago at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, and it was not done, in my opinion. And it's way closer to done, I think. But one of the things that we added in growing out of conversations with Kevin is we did actually discover that very last poem that Poe wrote on the deck of the steamboat. And I just gave something away, didn't I?
Totally.
Yeah, I totally gave it away. If you want to hear the last poem that Poe ever wrote, come see this play and be the first people in the world to hear it.
When you say bringing the audience along, are you talking about trying to figure out the right level of exposition at certain points in the play?
That's extremely well put, Kyle.
So is this, I mean, how do you decide that? It goes right to the director.
Well, we want to put out little clues as the story goes on. And initially, there are scenes in many different times. So the first thing that we imagine, we try to constantly, as we're working on the play and as I'm directing the play, put ourselves in the chairs of someone from the audience who has no idea, you know, they don't know any of the backstory that we know, and think what they would be doing. And initially, we imagine they would be thinking, what in the world does this scene in that year have to do with this scene in that year? And I tell the actors often things like, serve this up or lift up that idea. And it's sort of a subconsciously planting little things out there for the audience that will help them make connections as they go along. And then we also try to think about important discoveries that we want the audience to make with us. And we do sort of do the math backwards from there and ask ourselves, have we laid enough out here? Have we thrown enough things out here, enough breadcrumbs out for the audience to be able to get to this so that they can enjoy this moment in the way that we want them to?
But you haven't had too much foreshadowing, so they see it coming.
Yeah,
that's a high wire act, I would imagine.
Yes, yes, it is.
You know how in Olympic diving they have level of difficulties? If you just jump off the board, the highest you can get is a 4 or 5, but if you try a really difficult, a 10. Sounds like you guys are going for like a 9.8 here.
It's a 9.8, Kyle.
9.8. That's exciting, though. It's exciting.
Very exciting.
Do you have a special fondness for Poe?
No. Actually, that's not true. Sorry. We've been doing this a lot.
Yeah.
It's always been this way, though. Poe's writing is a little turgid for me, and you know, it's old fashioned. But Poe's character and who he was is absolutely amazing. He's one of those guys who looked at, you know, how'd you make the perfect library? I don't know. I think I'll go and write a 30-page essay on how to make the perfect library. And then tomorrow I'm going to write an essay on the philosophy of furniture. And now maybe, you know, in a couple of years I'll try to figure out what the dark matter is in the universe and how the universe works. I mean, his mind just went deep in every direction. And and that's really exciting to me. And then he just, and it's also amazing that he only lived half a life, you know? He was gone. I'm not sure. I can't remember whether he made it to 40 or not. But
if he did, barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the contrast between the Poe that has come to us in the popular imagination and the real Poe, and the Poe in his writings is also something that fascinates me. So as a biographical character and an individual, he's amazing. He does completely intrigue me.
We have a 7-minute scene. I believe, a preview. Can we see that, but a little bit of setup?
This is a scene between Janice, who's our protagonist in the play, and Jack, and this is a scene where they are, you know what? It's in a library. It's in the Yale Beinecke Rare Books and Manuscripts Library.
Is my time up? What? I haven't touched it, see?
You're Janice Berry.
You're Jack the sign-in guy.
No, I know. I just saw. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Herald carried it today.
Thank you.
When did you find out?
I've known for a week or so. It's been out.
I guess they just...
The Yale Herald.
Original reporting, take time to validate the sources. Friggin' Prix de Rome.
The Rome Prize.
The Rome Prize.
Is that how they put it in the paper?
I thought...
The Prix de Rome is no more.
The paper got it right. I made the leap. You know, the Rome Prize, Prix de Rome, which I'd heard of.
Well, they shut that down years ago. The French did. The Rome Prize, that's a different thing.
Ignorance. You know, what can you do?
What can you do?
So you're an architect?
Yeah.
Grad English.
Pleased to meet you, Grad English.
I didn't read. Have they built any of your stuff? I mean, that's not what I mean, obviously. I saw the pictures of the DeGeneres house, which was amazing, which was truly amazing.
Thank you. So, yes.
What?
They have built my stuff.
You know, technically, I'm supposed to say something to you about the uncapped pen resting on the same table, on, in fact, the same surface, as that priceless original copy of Southern Literary Messenger. What issue is that? June 1836? But I'm going to restrain myself.
You're a peach.
So you're in the School of Architecture.
That's right.
Which I know now because...
It's in the paper.
They also mentioned Maya Lin. You know, the Vietnam War Memorial as a sort of antecedent, I guess. Another Yaley.
We've met.
We get absolutely no cool people up on this floor. Sometimes inwardly cool, but rarely cool and cool looking, which is why I'm kind of just...
Hovering?
We're also completely discouraged from fraternizing. But my supervisor is away at a conference.
Is she a cat?
What? Oh, when the cat's away. You're probably on a tight schedule.
Actually, yes, obviously.
What? It's kind of womb-like, isn't it? Like a big womb. The dim lights, the hum. Okay, Janice, I know some things I'm not supposed to know, for which, if caught, I would definitely lose my work study here and probably, you know, destroy my career.
Before it even starts.
Before it even starts. It started, by the way, I am published.
Really? What have you published?
You know, let's wait on that. because I want to get through this, you know, big admission first, which is, I know every document you've ordered or asked to see or in Beinecke in rare books and manuscripts for about the last 18 months.
Are you allowed to do that?
Totally not.
And if I were to mention this to whomever, you would lose your job?
Most deservedly. And Yale, you know, would kick me out.
Most deservedly?
Most frigging deservedly. And if you agree with the basic philosophical premise of, you know...
Privacy?
You're into Poe. That's what I've noticed.
And your supervisor is where?
In Rome, coincidentally.
Filling in for him or her?
No one. I stand before you unsupervised.
Except that you're sitting.
I'm actually supervising her, that one at the desk. Here's the thing. Poe's a sexist, proto-racist pedophile, and yes, I do use the term loosely, and you are a prize-winning, super cool architect of some... You're an architect? So I'm wondering, you know, why the obsession?
What obsession?
With Edgar Allan Poe.
It's research.
Last week, you stared at the Elmira Shelton letter for 35 minutes straight. It was like a mind meld.
I was probably thinking through something.
Like what?
An assignment.
Like a design assignment?
You were watching me.
Maybe.
For 35 minutes.
That's kind of a guesstimate.
But you were staring at me.
Extended glancing.
You were extended glancing at me.
I was glancing at a fellow Poe fanatic.
I'm not a Poe fanatic.
It's a library, Janice.
Are you really a Poe nut?
Did you actually just say Poe nut?
Yeah, I think I did. Are you?
Since like the fifth grade. Not for the stories or the poetry. Not anymore. More for how he gets increasingly complex the closer you look. And for what he accomplished, you know? 10 or 15 short years before he just whimpered out. You know, barely 40 years old. Could not remain in or of this world. Could not do it. I confessed. Now it's your turn.
It's research.
For a design project.
You know, it's absolutely none of your business, what I'm doing here.
You are absolutely right. It's that you're cleared to see originals. You've got clearance, and nobody gets to do that. Absolutely nobody gets to do that. But you do. You get to touch actual manuscripts.
I know the dean. I'm presenting at her summer house.
Kennebunkport. I sort of knew that. So, like, what were you doing with the Shelton letter the other day? Sometimes I stare at these things long enough, it's like I can feel the author. You know, like, for a fleeting second, they're in the room. Is it like that with you?
Can I just leave this here? I usually bring it back up to the desk.
I'll take care of it. If you let me buy you a beer, I won't report you.
For what?